Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse 4. We've already done those verses, but I kind of want to read over those, and we'll read down through verse number 9. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again today, I want to thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much, Lord, for leaving that here secure and just like you wanted it. Thank you, Lord. It's your word. It's true. And we thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege tonight of preaching. You know what this preacher's needs is tonight, and I ask you for them. Help me, Lord. And then, Lord, certainly I need your power and your wisdom, and I ask you for that. And once again, thank you for all you've done for us, all your kindness and grace. Help us as we look into thy word tonight. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you remember, last week we basically talked about the condition Lot was in as far as the vexing of his soul, and how important it was that we understood that this was on a day-to-day basis, that Lot's soul was vexed. It was in turmoil over the wickedness that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. It hurt him. Now, we're going to say a little something about Lot tonight, but we've got to remember something. He's called Righteous Lot. He was a saved person. Sin will hurt saved people. It'll bother them. It'll cause them turmoil. When you look around and see all the sin that's going on around us, it'll upset you. If sin, and it is, it's going on everywhere, and it's just all around us. That is something that vexes our spirit. Why? Because we know that God is righteous God. We know it's wrong for them to do that. We know their way they're acting is not correct, not right. So I wanted you to remember that we discussed that last week. We're basically going to go into verse number 9 tonight. But I want to remind you also about the fact that the letter here of 2 Peter was written. Now, I have mentioned this quite often, but it's important that I just kind of keep it before us. 1 Peter was a letter that was written due to some troubles, and what I'm saying, it was not the only reason. You understand that. But some of the reasons it was written was because of the troubles from outside the church, outside troubles. 2 Peter was written because inside troubles was going on. False teachers was there within the church, trying to get into the church and trying to teach false teachings, false doctrines. So what I'm saying is the purpose, one of the purpose of this letter was to warn about the false teachers, but at the same time encourage God's people to be able to stand fast in the times that they were living in. And he gave some illustrations here, two illustrations basically as far as the time that they were living in. He gave us Noah and Lot, and he called us to live a life. Now you're going to probably laugh at this when I say about Lot, but to live a life like Noah and Lot did in the last days, to take a stand for God. You see, there's one thing we've got to remember about Lot, and we've got to get that straight in our minds, because I've heard people use this as an excuse for their ungodly living. Say, well, old Lot, you know, he was called a righteous man. He wasn't doing everything right either. But you've got to remember something. Lot was not practicing the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. His sin was staying, and as it says, I think, in verse 8, for that righteous man dwelleth among them. In other words, he stayed where he ought not to have stayed, and the second thing he did was he didn't say anything about their wickedness until we find in Genesis 19 chapter, the 7th verse, where he called them wicked. He finally stood up for God and said, what you're doing is wicked. So you've got to understand that, yes, Lot made some very, very poor decisions. Very poor. I think he was a backslidden man. I don't think we can preach a lot of things about Lot. But you cannot find in the Scripture where Lot was in practicing the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just the opposite. It vexed his righteous soul to see, it says, and hear of these wicked things all the day long. So don't use Lot as an excuse to say, well, I don't live right for God. I don't do everything right. I live in sin. But, you know, that's what Lot did. Well, he lived in a different type of sin. He wasn't out there practicing fleshly sins, I don't believe. He did live amongst them. He never said anything about it. He didn't stand up for God. He didn't raise his children right. He didn't do a lot of things that was wrong. But I don't believe he's practicing the horrible sins that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't find it. Because the Bible says it vexed his soul. So what God is calling us to do is this. Look at the times of Noah. Look at the times of Lot. You find this more in the New Testament also in Matthew and Luke and those the Gospels there. And I think it's Matthew and Luke especially about Noah's time and Lot's day. You find a lot said about that. What God is calling us to is to a life of steadfastness in the midst of all of this wickedness that's going on. Yes, there's wickedness going on. It's all around us. You understand that. You know that. But he's calling us to a life of steadfastness in the middle of it. In the midst of it. He's saying to you, don't do like they do, but become, stand up and be different. Be something different for God in the midst of all of this wickedness and ungodliness that's going on. Be different. Stand up for God, you see. I believe that these problems and trials that's going to arise in our lives, and I believe personally that they're going to get more and more. I think the pressure is going to come on the Christians more and more as we live. But these pressures that come on, what God is saying to us and what God is saying through Peter is, don't despair. Don't despair. There's a great God who's going to help us. And basically that's what he's saying there in verse number 9 is when we get to that. But in verse number 9, he's basically saying, God is able. Our God is able. So don't despair. See, I believe we are small in number in comparison to the people that's in America today. We are small in number. And I believe we're getting smaller and smaller in number all the time. You mentioned earlier about the Supreme Court justices, Brother Joe. You probably all heard about the Supreme Court ruling upon prayer concerning sports events. They have absolutely outlawed them in sporting events. It came out of a case out of Texas where they got up and prayed in Jesus' name at a sporting event, and they was sued for it. The Supreme Court saw it and ruled prayer out of sporting events. Ruled it out. That's what he's talking about, the getting rid of some of these justices. I think he's absolutely right. The only thing that scares me is if Gore gets in, he's going to be appointing two or three, probably more justices. That's scary. You think we've seen trouble now? We're going to be in real trouble. So I'm just simply saying, there's been a departure from God, from the very government, the Supreme Court, and the government on up there on down. There's a departure from God Almighty, you see. The newspapers used to be. Now, I don't remember these days, but I remember when newspapers were not what they were today. I remember the reading about the Billy Sunday days when they printed his whole sermons in the newspapers. I mean, you don't see anything like that today. And you won't, but years ago, they used to print sermons. They have a revivals come to town and preach, and they print his whole sermon right in the newspaper. But you see, you don't see things like that today because it is just getting worse and worse and worse. And I mean, you understand these things, but we look at it today like, well, this is normal. It isn't normal, folks. It isn't normal. It's not the way it's supposed to be. You see, the newspapers, the media as a whole, has absolutely just turned against the things of God. Completely and fully. Now, you can't say, used to, years ago, they used to say, well, you can go see a Walt Disney film. You can't do that today. Because Walt Disney, not himself, he's dead, but his organization, his firm, has turned completely against God and the things of God. As we mentioned earlier the other day about the Disney World and all of that, has a gay day. Did you see the other day where the First Lady of the United States of America marched in a gay pride parade in New York? She was right in the parade for gay pride? And she was there marching with them? See, years ago, that wouldn't have taken place. What I'm saying, this thing is getting worse and worse as we go by. You know that there's nothing on TV that's even worth watching. Our government has put God out. Our homes have done mainly the same thing. And I'm sorry to say, but many of our churches has just put God out. See, you don't even want to mention His name, His wonderful, blessed name. I sometimes can't imagine this. I think about it and I say, here He is, Jesus Christ, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the Son of God, God the Son, the Alpha, the Omega, the Savior of the world, the One who died for our sins and rose again for our justification. We can't mention His name. It's not allowed to be mentioned. And you know what? We bought that. Most people say, well, it's okay if in our schools we can't mention His name. You know, it's a public school. So what? He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. We should not accept the fact that His name can't be mentioned and can't be exalted and be taught. The greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth. And we can't mention His name? What's the matter with us? And we bought that. See, most of America has bought that. Well, we can't do it because the government says we can't. Yes, we can. We have got to mention His name. We've got to exalt Jesus Christ. We've got to lift up His name. Always. We've got to continue to do that no matter who we are or where we are. We've got to continue to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And may I say, in our churches above all, our churches ought to be proclaiming the wonderful name of Jesus Christ and how good and how wonderful and how precious that He is. See, it's in these difficult times that we live that God says, stand. Stand fast. Folks, do not get discouraged in these difficult times. There's been people who's went through them just like you've gone through them, and much worse. So don't be discouraged. Just get encouraged in the Lord. God loves you, and He'll do what needs to be done to help you. And so that's what verse 9 is all about. What Peter comes to is he comes down to verse 9, and he says, I want to encourage you about something. I want to help you. I want God's people to realize that they can, just like Noah, just like in the days of Lot, just like in other days that went by, you can stand for God. You can do it. And that's why he says in verse number 9, he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You see, and let me give you a couple of things that he does not say. First of all, he does not say, well, just hold on, things are going to get better. See, this is an idea, if you don't be careful, this is an idea that we have, even here in America. Oh, just hold on, things will get better. What do you mean things are going to get better? God never says it's going to get better. Oh, just give the world time, things will start working out, it'll be a wonderful place, this here's only temporary. You know, I know it is as far as heaven is concerned, but not this world, it isn't temporary. It's going to get worse and worse according to the Scripture. So God doesn't look down and say, just hold on a little longer, I'm going to turn all these things around, circumstances are going to be different, we're going to change them. He doesn't say that. He said, just know that I'm able to deliver the godly out of temptation, out of trials. Just know that I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to help you throughout these terrible times. You see, that's what he wants us to remember. One of the things he wants you to remember is simply this: God's power is great. Look at verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. See, His power is great. You see, what if, and let me just say this, what if the whole world stood against God? Would that change anything? What if everybody in the whole world decided to turn against God? Would they be able to effect any change whatsoever in God's plan? Well, absolutely not. Now, we know the whole world is not turned against Him, but let me say to you, we don't have to worry about what the world does. The world cannot change the plan of God. You see, whatever men do, they will not change the outcome. They can't change the outcome. God is God, you see, and He will always do what is right, and in the end, He will always, always do right and do what needs to be done. You see, the other thing we need to remember is that God does permit evil. God permits evil. I want to be very honest with you. I look back and I don't know why Satan fell. I know why Satan says that he fell is because he wanted to be as great as God. But as far as why God allowed evil to come in, I don't know that. I don't know if any of us know that. I don't know why God decided to do that. But He did. See, there's a lot of things that I do not know, but I know this, that God determines the extent and the time that evil has. God determines that, and He will put a stop to it when He chooses to put a stop to it. Amen. He has a reason for all of these things, but all I know for sure is He determines the timing of it, the extent of it, how long evil will exist. He determines all of those things. God Almighty does. Not only that, He does not give evil a free rein. Thank God. I just want you to realize that God has everything in control. Now, I know you look around, you see all the evil happening, you say, is God in control? Yes, He is. Absolutely, completely in control. God has not lost control, folks. God is in control. You remember when Job was tested, when Satan tested Job? You remember that? Did you know that Satan had to get permission from God Almighty to do that? He had to go and get a permission slip from God before he could even test Job. What I'm simply saying to you is, you see, God puts limits on evil. How far it can go, how much it can happen. Don't you know that God right now has a protective hand around you? Did you know God, nothing can happen to you as a child of God unless God says it's okay? Well, you must understand that. You get a hold of it, he'd drive you crazy if you didn't think that. But we know God controls all things. You say, I know, but I've had some pretty rough things happen to me. All right, but God still knows about it. God still allowed it. Why He did, I don't know all of those things, but God allowed it. Amen? So we must understand that God limits evil, you see. Now, what God does is this. God either brings judgment on it, or He revives His work. Now, I want to just use an illustration on that. You go back to Noah. You go back to Lot. What did God do? He brought complete judgment on it. He wiped out the whole crowd in Noah's day. He wiped out the whole crowd in Lot's day. You go back to the day of Jonah, you look back to the day of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, a wicked city, a terrible wicked city. And he came on it, and he was going to bring judgment on it. He was going to destroy it. But first of all, he sent a prophet by the name of Jonah. And we know the whole story of Jonah, but finally Jonah got to where he was supposed to be, and he preached the word of God, and the whole city repented. Now what I'm simply saying to you is this. God decides. He puts the limit on it. Sometimes He just comes and destroys. Judgment just cuts it off. Other times He comes along and revives His work, saves a people and revives the work of God. The book of Judges is a good example of that. You're familiar with the book of Judges, how constantly Israel would do good. They'd prosper and do all right, and then they'd turn away from God. And God would bring judgment on them. God would bring captivity into them. And then they would cry again to God. And God would send a deliverer, a judge, and deliver them. But God always kept everything in control. He would only let it go so far. And that's what he does today. That's why the 7 years of tribulation Really, when I say scary, I'm not scary inside, but it's a scary thing. Now, you know why? Because the 7 years of tribulation, evil is turned loose. Now, don't get me wrong. God is still in control, but it's turned loose more than it ever has been on the face of this earth. That's why we preach and we try to say to you and to myself, we don't want people to go through that tribulation time, that 7 years of tribulation. We don't want that. It's going to be a horrible time that we can't even imagine. There's never been a time like it upon the face of the earth. So I'm saying that's scary because we've seen some pretty rough things on this old earth. We've seen some pretty wicked things go on. But nothing like the years of tribulation is going to be. Now, when evil reaches a certain point, God moves in to contain it. He'll do the same thing in the tribulation period. But that's God. Why? Because God is controlling it. God takes care of these things, you see. There's times when God moves in churches' lives. There's times when churches get Ichabod written over them. And there's times when God moves in and revives a work. He just moves in and revives a work of God in a church that maybe has been dead. God moves in. Other times, God allows that church to die. Sometimes, and is he long-suffering? Yes, he's long-suffering. Sometimes it's years and years that God just allows that thing to go there. Sometimes he'll either revive it or else he'll destroy it. It just gets closed up. It's gone. Little church down on the Highway 59 toward Clay City. I go by there. You folks, no, you don't quite. It's on the other side of Clay City, I think. On the other side of Clay City, they just tore it down finally. A church there for years and years and years. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be. It'd be better to let it deteriorate like it was and just get rid of it. But years ago, I imagine there was people went in there excited for God. I'm sure there was preaching in there and things going on, people getting saved. I'm sure that's probably true. And you can say that in churches right here in this area right here. You see them just finally just fold up and they're just gone. You see, God moves in either to revive or he brings judgment. And that's something we've got to remember. You see, here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we don't want God to have to move in. We want God to move in and give us power. We want God to do a wonderful thing for us here, and always the Spirit of God should be here and be excited about the things of God. We always ought to be excited about seeing people saved, going on for God. That ought to excite us, you see. And we've got to keep that spirit amongst our people. Amen? All of us have to keep that spirit, you see, about the things of God. We know that God's ways are perfect. I believe America is proof that without God, things deteriorate. America is proof of it. You look around and we've done away from God in many of the areas of America. We see sin has increased. We see how crime has just increased. We see how filthy living has increased. We see how families have broken up. We see how abortions are allowed. We see how the sodomites are taken over. Why? Because America has turned her back on God. It's exactly why it's happening today. America's turned her back on God, you see. Back in 1962, you may be familiar with this. You may have this book or familiar with it, To Pray or Not to Pray, written by David Barton. I don't know whether you've read that book or not. I think it was around 83 or 4 when he read it or wrote it. But he wrote a book that's astounding. He said in 1962, when prayer was taken out of the schools. Now listen to me. Don't be sold down the river for this thing. People will tell you, well, we still pray in our school. We still do this. You listen to me. Our government took a stand against prayer. America took a stand against God and prayer in 1962 and officially removed it from the schools. We took a stand for abortion. We took a stand for the sodomites. Now we've taken a stand against prayer in athletic events. No, our government has come out and said, we're against it. You cannot do it. And when a nation stands against God, you're in trouble. people say, well, we've got a few people praying here, and we've got to say, well, there's prayer in our school. I want to tell you, as a whole, is what I'm talking about. Our nation has already taken a stand against God Almighty. And I want to tell you what David Barton said about 1962, and when it all began to deteriorate. In 1962, after 1962, SAT grades took a plunge. I mean, took a plunge, started going downward. Premarital sexual activity among teen women 15 through 18 years old doubled in 20 years, starting in 1962. Birth of children to the unwed in between 15 and 19 years old went from 15 per 1,000 to 30 per 1,000 in 20 years, doubled, starting in 1962. Also, sexually transmitted diseases, gonorrhea, those in age of 15 through 19, went from 350 for every 100,000 to 1,300 for every 100,000 from 1962 to 1975, 13 years. And you say prayer doesn't make a difference. You say, Brother Ross, there's still people praying. You forget our nation as a whole took a stand and said, we won't have it. And God's not going to put up with that. And there's a lot of things began to happen in our public schools because of that. There was not people praying. And God took a stand because America had said it's all right not to pray in our schools, and everything started to deteriorate. I only give you two or three things. It's amazing. Multitudes and multitudes of things started to deteriorate from 1962. You can read his book. It's amazing. God says the way of the transgressor is hard. And believe me, it is. The Bible says that God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I thank God for that. You see, that's, folks, tonight, that's our hope. That's our encouragement. You see, God knows how to help you in the midst of trials. God knows how to help you in the midst of all of these wicked things that's going on around you. God is able to deliver you. God is able to prepare a place for you. God is able to take care of you. Amen? God is able. He's wonderful, you see. We're not told that God's people will not suffer anything. We're not told that. We're told that God is just able to deliver us. Ultimately, the Lord will deliver us, because the Word of God says so. And that's what verse 9 is all about. He's saying unto us, God is able. He's able to deliver you. Yes, it was bad in the days of Lot. Yes, it was bad in the days of Noah. Yes, it's bad in your day, but God is able. And not only that, he knows also how to deliver the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. You see, there is coming a day when the wicked is going to get their due. Now, we look around, we see all of this seemingly prospering today. Folks, God is reserving them unto judgment. And there is a day coming when God is going to take care of all of those things. And in the midst of it, he's going to deliver us out of the trials. Amen. Now, what's he saying to us? Well, he's saying to us this. In the midst of all of this wickedness that goes on around us, stand fast. Don't quit. You see, the problem is, I see it all the time. I see it in Christianity. I see people just giving up. They don't want to battle the battle. They don't. They just give up. And you know what? They don't have half the battles that they did in the old days, in the days of Lot, the days of Noah. They don't have half the battles. We don't have them. And yet they just give up. So, well, I'll just join the crowd. Folks, listen to me, please. Please stand fast. No matter what comes your way, please stand fast. Please, as a generation of people, remember something. If you don't, what's the next generation going to do? This is the thing that bothers me over and over and over. You may not understand it, but it vexes my soul. What kind of church are we going to have in 20 years? What are we going to have? I'm very serious about this. What are we going to have? Do we have a group of people? I'm not just talking about Blessed Hope, but certainly Blessed Hope's included. Do we have a group of people that's going to stand for the things of God? I mean, go all out and stand? Are you going to fight the battles that we fought years ago? Have you got it in you to do that? Because it's exactly what it's going to take. And it's going to get worse and worse. The battles are going to get harder, more difficult. Are you just laxing around, not worrying about the things of God, just doing the little that you can do and be kind of okay person? That won't get it. You're going to have to stand for God. You're going to have to stand fast for the Lord. And I mean just stand fast. What kind of church are we going to be 20 years from now? It's all going to be determined on those right now that's in the prime of their life. What's it going to be like? Now, to me, that's scary. If the church is in the condition it is now in America, what's it going to be like 10, 15, 20 years from now? The church is a mess, folks. I'm serious about this. You may not understand it, but the church in America is a mess. I know we've got great churches. I know God is doing some things. But I'm talking to you as a whole. Churches in America are a mess. Now, what are we going to do about it? What's going to happen 5, 10, 15 years from now? What's going to happen? See? Amen? Well, God says, look, God is able to deliver you. Just stand fast. I'll help you. Just stand fast. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for your book, the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. Lord, your will be done tonight in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.